Momentous moment. I wasn't able to do this for the past 2 years. I'm finally able to come back here, but in a different type of capacity, unfortunately. You're good. So, first of all, I know a lot of you are pulled in here because Uri told you that I can create cows with my hands. It's not exactly true. I have been known to create cows, but in a very, very different form.
He has to speak first.
Very different form. Just put it this way. What the heck? What's with the recording? You guys gotta chill. This is like, this is turning off I don't want to touch anybody, but you know, whatever. I'm still a bass guy. He's way too transfer-y, guys. Way too transfer-y. That's right. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for, to stick up for the bass guys because they don't show up to Seder. Sorry, let's go. So the idea is like this. I'm gonna say a lot. The problem with what I'm going to say is that you're going to have a lot of questions on it. Now, think about your question before you ask it. I sometimes have problems with this, that a person asks a question, I want to make fun of them, and I'm not usually allowed to. So think about the question beforehand. It may very well be a good question. I doubt it, but it may very well be. If it is, I'll tell you that. If it isn't, I'll tell you that. Okay, so think about it beforehand. Otherwise, don't worry about interrupting in the middle of the shir. With that, it's perfectly fine. Okay, second bracha on Shmona Esrei is Yitzchak's bracha. The first one is Magen Avram. The third one is Atakutter. It's supposed to be Yaakov. The second one is his. Mechaya Mason. The Pashup shot behind that is because he was Chayam Esim. He was supposed to die and he ended up living. Okay. You ever wondered why it starts off Mechalkel Chayim Bechesed? Mechayam Esim Barachamim Rabim? The meat of Chesed and the meat of Rachamim has nothing to do with Yitzchak Avinu. He is Baal Gvuros. He's the one that's all about the Gvura. He's the one that's starting all these Atagivor Lolam Hashem. Talking about Gvura. What in the world does he have to do with Chesed and Rachamim? He has absolutely nothing to do with Chesed and Rachamim. So why does he bring those up? So that's number one. Number two, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Bereishis, Eila told us Shemayim Varas Bibar. Crap, what's going on? I didn't see it. Eila told us Shemayim Varas Bibaram. These are the told us Shemayim Varas Bibaram. These are the histories of the sky and the land when he created them. Be'ibaram is the gematria of Be'avraham. You switch around the letters, you come out with Be'avraham. So the question is, what does that mean? What do we want behind that? Avram is the ikar behind the world. The world can't run without him. If the world would run through Midas Adin, a person would be punished immediately for doing something bad, thinking something bad, having anything that bad happen through him, the world would be destroyed immediately. Every person would sin, every person would get punished, and it would be a terrible, terrible world. Terrible things would happen and nobody would be able to survive. So what does God do? God said that there has to be chesed in the world. The whole point behind the Akedah, people always ask this question, what's God doing? He's trying to go ahead and make Yitzchak get sacrificed and then he decides not to go ahead and sacrifice him? What's the whole point behind the Akedah? The whole point behind the Akedah is Avram, who stands for Chesed, to take Yitzchak, who stands for Midas Adin, to take that Midas Adin, put him down, put a knife to his throat, and say, Midas Adin, you're not ruling anything in this world. Chesed rules. I'm going to rule. It doesn't mean you have to kill Midas Adin. That doesn't mean the world has to run only with Chesed, because that means that there would be no judgment in the world. There'd be nobody who did anything bad. If you did something bad, you'd never have to do tshuva. That wouldn't be. But you have to knock down that Midas Adin. You have to throw it down there and say, Chesed rules. Chesed is on top of everybody else. Chesed is going to take care of everything else. That's the idea behind it, where Chesed is on top. That's the whole point of the Akedah. That was the whole reason why. It's not that Avraham Avinu needed to bring him up and to show and prove the test. It's for Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring about in the world that Chesed is going to always rule over Din. Up until that point that wasn't there, now it is. So what's going to happen when Avraham dies? Avraham is sitting there the whole time bringing Chesed and more Chesed and bringing all this Chesed into the world. But when he dies, he's gone. So what's going to happen? Yitzchak's going to be there. And what's Yitzchak going to do? He's going to bring Midas Adin into the world. Midas Adin in the world is going to cause more people to be killed. What happened in the Nefesh Rasu Bukharan? What happened to those Gerim? Rechano Chenech Alexander says that those Gerim, who all were a Geir from Avraham Avinu, they left. They went out. They saw Yitzchak Avinu. It was like sitting down in an Esha Torah shir and having somebody come down there and be like, you're awesome. You're great. You're doing unbelievable. You're learning well. And then you go to Yeshiva where the guy gets up there and says, you're an idiot. What's wrong with you? What do you think? You think you're learning enough? You got to do more. That's Yitzchak Avinu versus Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu was there and he was a man of chesed and he taught them Torah, that was Torah. When Yitzchak Avinu taught them Torah, they didn't get it.
They all left. So what's the world going to be like? So what did Yitzchak Avinu do? You know what he did? Mechaye Amesim. He made this concept of the dead will live again. Avraham Avinu is back. We can bring back his chus into this world. That this tzaddik who died can still exist, still bring his chus into the world, and that din will not make, will not rule over everything. That's the pshat. And Eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram holy to Yitzchak. The Toldos of Yitzchak, what Yitzchak did in this world, not referring to his kids, referring to everything that he did in this world, what he's able to bore into the world and bring about in the world, make the world run, even though it should have been Midas Adin, it should have been only Midas Adin, people should have died immediately. It was Ben Avram. It was all by bringing about Avram, you know, by going ahead. And that's why, Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Mechaye Mesim Barachamim Rabin. By going ahead and being Mechaye Mesim, he was able to bring about Chaim with Chesed. Without that Mechaye Mesim, he never would have been able to do that. And through that, he was able to have a child named Yaakov, you know, who stood for Rachamim. Because without that, Midas Adin can't give birth to a child that has any Chesed in it. There's no way that it could have anything inside it. This is the only way that it could possibly happen for everything to work out well. And that's the pshat why Yaakov was born. But what did tzaddikim do? What does that mean that a tzaddik can make a world run through chesed or make a world run through din and everything? We said this concept of Bihu Barom, that the world was created for Avraham Avinu. Just know, I've heard a lot of kfira from a lot of people, but sometimes there's a... I have, by the way, quite a bit. But there's sometimes where people make fun of gematrias. People make fun of gematrias. They make fun of Atbash, they make fun of Albam, they make fun of all the different types of gematrias that there are out there. It's because they don't have a clue. A clue at all. What gematrias are all about. Gematrias is not just, I find an olive and I put it in 10, 400. That's not what a gematria is all about. A gematria means something. If you're taking an olive and you're making it into a tough, that means you're turning chesed into din. You take a tough and you turn it into an olive, that means you're taking din, you're turning it into rachamim. If you take a total gematria of something and you're doing it and you're adding on one, it's not just like, one is Hashem, and you just add on one. There's a real pshat behind that why a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be involved in a board. It's not just stam, ima kolel, you end up getting one. You wouldn't have the Balaturim. The Balaturim is not just stam, like, oh, just a random guy off the street, Caesar, he's making up a gematria. You have the tour making up gematrias for you. You think a gematria is just stam, nothing? Chiluf, switching around letters, is also something. It means something. It means, if you're doing chiluf, that means you're turning around and changing around what the whole world is about. Behi bar'am. The world is created. How was the world originally created? With Binas Adin. What did Avraham do? With Avraham turning around the letters, turned around the entire world. The entire world switched around. It wasn't din anymore. It became chesed. He was down the chav's chus on people. He saw a person do something stupid. He saw a person make the wrong decision, like go to New York when you're an out-of-towner, and then say, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And for those New Yorkers out there, I'm totally in agreement you guys should be in New York. Out-of-towners, you don't belong there. You just don't belong there. Okay, we're done with that. Anyway, the idea behind it is that you go ahead and you make a broch on a food, you turn the food into something different. What do you think? I just saw Rav Pinto. I just saw Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel today. I saw Rav Asher Arieli. I see Gidolim. And I go up to them, I talk to them, I say whatever I can to them. Rav Pinto was a long story. That's great. I still have some of the dried up figs in my room. But either way, you go up to them. What are you saying to them? You daven for them, and you daven to them, and you say, please, can you daven for me? Give me your name, and you put your name down for them. What are they doing? You know what they're doing? They're creating new worlds. They're making brand new worlds. They're taking the world that we have and they're bringing more chesed into it. By bringing more chesed, it's a brand new world. If you had a gezeira in the old world, the new world that they're doing is a brand new world. You didn't have that gezeira anymore. The greater the tzaddik, the greater worlds he creates. When it says that a tzaddik is going to have shy olamos when he goes to Olam Haba, 310 olamos when he gets up to Olam Haba, that's not just stam. That means when a tzaddik goes up to Shemayim, he's going to see the world that he created through his tefillah. That's what it's supposed to be. A person has the ability, by davening and learning correctly, to create brand new worlds, brand new things that were never here before, and thus change around everything that's there. That's the real Mechaye Mesim, and that's the real Pshat and Avraham Avinu. Now we got to see Rashi. Rashi says in the very first pasuk, how is Avraham Molid Yitzchak? What happened that we have to say Avraham was Molid Yitzchak? Because the late son in... Anybody know what a late son is in Hebrew? Any clown, very good. Clown. Clowns. The clowns got up there. Happens to be it was Yishmael. Yishmael was Mitzachik. Mitzachik means he was playing around, he was laughing. That means he was a late son. He was a guy who was going out there and saying, Avram didn't give birth to Yitzchak. It was really Avimelech. Akrikach, Rabbi Zev Kohn of Chicago has a son named Shmuel. He was learning in Lakewood. His Chavrusa had this story happen to him. His chavrusa's father was going around. He had a business with some Pakistani people, whatever it was. And he went up to the Pakistani and he said, come on, we're brothers. The Pakistani said, no, we're not. Yitzchak's the son of Abimelech. Today, it still exists that Yitzchak is the son of Abimelech. The Leitzanus is still around. It's not gone. It's still around today. So all these Leitzanus were coming around and they're saying, Avram didn't give birth to Yitzchak. It was for sure from Abimelech. I don't understand. How could they have thought that? 13 years earlier, 14 maybe, Yishmael was born. Many years later, he had 6 other kids. There was no problem with Avram. It was a problem with Sarah Imenu. What would they want? Because Sarah all of a sudden was together with Avimelech. All of a sudden there was a child. Why would they think that it was Avimelech that caused it, not Avram Avinu? Why didn't they just think there was something else entirely? What were the late son him going around and saying? And plus, you're going to say it now? That was 60 years ago. He's giving birth to Esav and Yaakov right now. 60 years ago is when this happened. Because pshat is that Esav was born through Yitzchak Avinu. And everybody looked at him and said, how is it possible that two great tzaddikim like Yitzchak and Rivka had a child that's such a rasha? Then they looked at Avram Avinu and they said, he's such a tzaddik. Must be that Avimelech is the grandfather. And if Avimelech's the grandpappy, then he gave over that, whatever you want to call that DNA, over to Esav, so that Esav became an evil person. I don't understand. It's so ridiculous. It's unbelievable. What in the world is the point of such a thing? And why did Esav come this way? Just tell me, what's shot behind Esav? What does Esav mean? What does he stand for and everything? Okay, to do that, you got to go into the middle of the Parsha. Ever notice how there's like a commercial break right in the middle of the Parsha? It starts off with like Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav are running around, frolicking in the fields. All of a sudden, Esav becomes a mad Rasha. It starts Gilirai, Shvichus Dami, Abodazaring all over the place, right? And he's going around doing everything that's horrible. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, want some beans? Yeah, sell you the Bechora, we're all done. And then Yitzchak goes to Plishtim. And he digs a well. And they fill it up with dirt. And he digs another well. And they fill it up with dirt. And he digs a third well. This one they didn't. And that place they called Rehovot. And then Yaakov and Esav wanted to get a bracha. Come on. What in the world is going on in the middle of the Parsha? It's just the strangest thing in the world. It's literally a commercial break right in the middle. You're just like, hold on for a word from our sponsors. The police are getting up there. Here we go. We got some dirt. Like, it's just the strangest thing that ever. It couldn't be more strange. So last year, Rav Avram Shor came to Chicago. He said over this board over Shabbos, I sat there and memorized every single thing I could. It was the most unbelievable word I've ever heard before in my life. There's a Rashi, and Parakhov Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav, says the following. It goes into what they mean by Sotmum, that they closed it up. So he says the words Tomnun Plishtoi, they covered it up, Lashon Stima, Ubelashon HaTalmud, Tintum Alev. When Rashi gives an example, it's not Stam. There's a reason why he's giving an example. When he says, this thing means like that thing because of this word over here. There's a reason why he chose that word and that example over any other example out there. So what do we want? Shem Yishmol says the Menatzpach, Mem Nun Tzadi Pei and Chof Sofis, they're all Sofises, each one of them stands for a Gullus. Each one of them stands for a Gullus. Mem Sofis stands for Gullus Plishtim, the Gullus of the Plishtim. Now what's your first question? Why is a good question. It's not the one I was looking for, though. Pay. What?
Mem is in Plishtim.
It's also in Mitzrayim. It's also in many other words. But what's the first question you're going to ask me?
What
Golos?
Why not?
What Golos? Where was that exile? Where was I? Did I totally miss that? When did we get a Golos into the Plishtim? It never happened. You think somebody called the Shokhov Rebbe and just went up to him and just like, there's no such Gullus. He's no such exile. He's just like, oh man, I meant Babel. I completely messed that up. So what's going on? What in the world do we want with that? That's another two. Well, what kind of a Gullus is that? And plus, what's the mem? Okay, why the mem? That's another question. What's with the mem over anything else? Here's the idea. The Baal HaTorim puts everything in this parsha. We have to understand something that's a little bit crazy. The police were known for late sonnets. Anybody know what's so bad about Leitzanus? About a joke that just gets into? Leitzanus can make the truth a lie. And can make a lie completely true. If a guy makes a good enough joke, like if you listen to Jerry Seinfeld make a joke, making fun of something, you hear how he's turning something which is normal into something absurd. Absurd. I was just on a plane. There's a famous Jerry Seinfeld that he always says about the plane food. If anybody knows about plane food, the plane food is horrible, and that the stewardesses always wake you up in order to eat your plane food. Always wake you up, and he's like, I don't want to be waking up for my plane food. And he sits there saying, I don't want the plane food. It's not good food. And he goes around, and everybody's laughing. Ah ha! Ah, plane food stinks! Oh, it's absolutely horrible! Oh, he's so right! He's so right! I want you to think about this for a second. It's like they're doing a nice thing. They think you're starving to death because you're sitting on this plane, and they go up to you and they're just like, they're not doing it maliciously. They're not like looking at a guy in a plane and saying, oh, that guy's sleeping. Hey, wake up! That's not what they're doing. They don't mean it maliciously. They're trying to be a nice people. They're going up to the person, listen, I got food for you. It's going to get cold later on. If you eat it later, that rutabaga salad, which might have tasted good if it was hot because you could put butter on it and douse it in ketchup and maybe it'll taste a little bit weird, different. That thing might taste good while it's hot, but when it's cold, it's garbage. They're doing the nicest thing ever. They're pulling you out there and they're saying, here, take your food, take your food. They're feeding it to you. And what does Jerry Seinfeld do? He goes in and makes them look like absolute idiots. Absolute idiots. So that a guy goes on a plane, just like, ah, don't wake me up. I know what you're going to do. It's turning the absolute MS into Shaker. The late Sonnen can just do that. They can just make fun. Everybody knew that Avram was Moled Yitzchak. His face changed in the middle of the party. Suryman, who started nursing all the children at the party. All these crazy things happened at the party. You think there was one guy there that didn't really believe? And they knew Avram and Sarah. These people were Gedolim beyond Gedolim. You think there was one person there who was sitting there? But what late Sonnen does is it starts entering Sveikos inside you. It starts entering Sveikos. And you start having problems within you. And you start thinking to yourself, maybe that's not true. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's something like this. Starts throwing in the dirt into the well of Torah. The whole pshat behind the Plishtim is that they're full of Torah. They have unbelievable ideas. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, they were making yeshivas. Yitzchak was making yeshivas in Plishtim. He was making yeshivas around there. The Be'eros full of water, and he was naming them each one. He was making yeshivas full of Talmidim. And each one of the Plishtim went up to them. Who was the general of the Plishtim's army? Pichol. Look at that name. Pichol. He was a car salesman. His mouth was everything. He was sitting there saying to the people, you think this is great? This is really a question. You think this was makes sense? No, here's the problem with that. Fichol went up to everybody and said, this is garbage. He started throwing dirt in every single one of the things of wealth. You think it's easy for a person to come straight out of yeshiva and then have to go into some type of a college program or to start learning in college and start going in there and hearing what their professors are saying? It's garbage. It's dirt. They know nothing. They know absolutely nothing. I haven't fought enough of them yet. I fought just a few. They are full of absolute garbage. Absolute garbage, no matter who they quote, what they quote. There's nothing you can do about them, but we all have to face them at some point in time. It's the dirt that's going on top of the bear full of mayim that you had when you were in yeshiva. That's what you end up having. That's what the plishtim were. The plishtim were late sonim. There were people who made fun of everybody else. The people who said, no, that's good. Don't listen to that. There is no God. There's no real God out there. He doesn't really want to do anything. There's this and that and the other. And the people were convinced by it. The people were sitting there and they said, you know, that sounds right. That sounds true. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. And they started getting those sphakos, that dirt started getting inside them. That Mem Sophis is in every single gullus. Mitzrayim, Babylim, Parsium, Madiim, Medium, every single one, Edom, every single one is the Mem Sophis. You know why it's a fifth gullus? It wasn't a gullus where we went out anywhere. It was late sonnes came in every single gullus. And it's there with us every single time. Says Rav Shor, and Rav Shor added on to a whole big thing. You know what the worst thing in the world is? It used to be when a guy told a joke. I came up with a great joke the other day, by the way. You want to hear this? I sent in the Laffy Taffy, but I didn't get anything back. No, it's a really good one. It's a really good one. Ready? My Ezzy, he's my 4-year-old kid, so he was sitting there. I think he's 5 now. He came up to me and he was like trying to catch me on it. He's learning addition a little bit, so he came up to me and he's like testing me. He's like, what's 1 plus 1? So I'm like, 2. So he said, what's 2 plus 2? So I said, 4. And he's like laughing. He's like, ah. And he goes, what's 100 plus 100? I'm like, 200. He's like, oh my God, you're a genius. So he's like, he looks at the table. He's like, what's an apple plus an apple? Now, I don't know why I had 2 apples on the table. I usually don't have fruit on the table. But there happened to be 2 apples on the table. He said, what's an apple plus an apple? I said, ready? A pear. Is that good? You don't think that can make... Can't that make Laffy Taffy? I sat there after I said that to him. I'm like, Rachel, listen to this! I like ran him out. I'm like, yeah, this is the best joke ever! I sent it into Reader's Digest. I sent it into Laffy Taffy. I haven't gotten a response yet. I'm expecting a lot. I'm expecting a whole lot. But I had it down. If you look for it, you can see on the Laffy Taffy, it says Svi Zimmerman, age 7, Chicago, Illinois. It is there. So just get ready for it. So if you do find it, tell me, because I am looking for these Laffy Taffys. I'm going to save them. They're all out there. That's my joke. Regardless, a joke is one thing. But late son is throughout every door. Every single generation has it. Says Rav Shor. It used to be, before the internet, guy told a joke, three people heard it, and then it was over. Now on the internet, you tell a joke, 750,000 people know it within 2 minutes. Within 2 minutes. Back in days, when I was first year, there were a couple of guys, I'm not attributing myself to any of this, who came up with a bunch of jokes about light bulbs. How many bass guys does it take to screw in a light bulb? One to do it, three to fake it. How many? Well, I don't want to say the other ones. I will make fun of the bass guys, but I'm not going to make fun of anybody else. But you can imagine what the other ones were. Put it off in an email, and it went literally throughout the world. Literally throughout the world. It goes everywhere. It goes everywhere. Because that's what ends up happening now. The worst thing that Leitonis can do is to make fun of something and spread it. And spread it and make it go around. Because that type of Leitonis, that kind of dirt, can affect everyone so badly. And every single person gets affected by it. Every single person is around. Because every single person, even though you're faking having that computer, you have some way of checking your email, and you always do it, and you do this, and you do that, and you end up getting it in some way, shape, or form, and everybody hears about it. It's the worst thing in the world. And that's what the pollution stood for, and that's the goals of the pollution. It's the goals that we have every single time when we go around. Why does that come about? Within this parsha, we have to understand a ways of us. We have to understand a ways of us. Vayisrotzu abanim bekirba. They were running around. Says the Ma'aril. The pshatayim vayisrotzu abanim bekirba. And then lama ze anochi, said Rivka. She didn't understand. Yishmael came from Hagar. Came from a shivcha. Esav came from her. She said, I don't get it. Why do I have to give birth to two kids? One evil and one good. Why can't I have a shivcha like Sarimenu? Sarimenu had a shivcha. Why can't I have a shivcha? So lama zanochi? When she felt that Yisrotzu abanim bekirba, she said, lama zanochi? Why only me? Why is it only me? Why can't I have a shivcha involved? Why can't there be anybody else involved? Somebody else that can do all this for us? That's what she said, lama zanochi? Why do I have to be that way? So here's the answer. Shnei goyim bevitnech. Shame told her, and this is a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do you realize what Esav has? Esav has crazy amounts of Kedusha, the likes of which no other nation has, because she came from Rivka. He came from Rivka. Yishmael doesn't have that Kedusha. Haraya, when was the last time you saw an Arab that converted? Well, last time. You ever see Yishmaelim convert? You ever see Yishmaelim that do anything except make algebra and make you pay a lot for oil? Honestly, is there anything else that Arabs do? They don't have any Kedusha within them. They have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. They're garbage. They're nothing. They're garnish. They're mamish nothing. Absolutely nothing. But Esav, look at Esav. The power of Esav is to have a gullus that lasts 2,000 years. The power of Esav is that they rule over other people. And that people will want them to, whether it's England or Russia or America or anywhere else that's in charge. They have the power to rule over other people, and that they're the ones who everybody looks up to and says, wow, they're the guys who are in charge. That's the power of Esav. Where did he get that power from? The Kedusha of Rivka. He was born from Rivka. And he was born from Rivka, meaning all that Kedusha went in him. He had Reb Meir. He had Antoninus. He had Shmayan and Avtalion. These neshamas were stuck inside Esav. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, Shnei Geyim Bevitnech. You're going to have two massive amounts of people. People that are going to be unbelievable, the likes of which you'll never see. If it was from Yishmael, you never would have gotten them. In Esav, you can actually get them. You'll have them all, because it comes from the Kedusha of Rivka. So you ready for this? Esav is a chelik in Maris Machpelah. Shmuel never had a shiloh. Shmuel didn't even go near Maris Machpelah. Esav said, I'm part Kedusha. I can go into Maris Machpelah. So he said, no, you can't. Your head can go in. Everything else can't. And that's old Pshat B'yan Yaakov by Chushim Ben Don cutting off his head and then the head rolling into the cave. We're not going to see it, but later on, you should know there's Machlokis that cutting off his head killed him. I got this when I decided to become a shochet. We cut the head off a turkey, and the turkey was running around without a head for quite a while. That's according to the Gemara in Gittin. There's a post in Gittin on Daf Nun Vav, I believe it is, on Omad Aleph. That's what Esav was after he had his head chopped off. He's running around. That's when Yehuda had to chop him up into little pieces. Those little pieces were taken back by the Esav people into Edom. They brought him back to Seir, while the head rolled into Maros Machpelah, and that's when Yaakov Avinu smiled. That's for Vayechi, but that's not for now. So Esav is Kedusha. Esav is Kedusha. Are you ready for this? Anybody know the famous Medrash? What happened to the 1,000 years of Adam Rishon's life? He's supposed to live for 1,000 years. He didn't live for 930. Why? Because he gave 70 years to David HaMelech. If David HaMelech was supposed to live, why would he have to take any years from Adam Rishon? If David HaMelech wasn't supposed to live, then why in the world would what would the years of Adam Rishon do for him? You know what Pshat is? Originally, it was supposed to be 4 avos. 4 avos for the 4 sides of the Kisei HaKavod. Shabbos was not supposed to be 3 meals. It was 4. Friday night is Yitzchak, Shabbos day is Avraham Avinu, Shalosh Shittos is Yaakov Avinu, Malava Malka is David HaMelech. and it should be that Shabbos would go all the way till Sunday morning. No chance for football. I'm not so sure how that would work out in this day and age, but it would be a 36-hour Shabbos. A 36-hour Shabbos, that's what it's supposed to be. That was the four Avos that surround, and every Malach of the Kisei HaKavod, Michal, Rafal, Gavriel, and Uriel, all those four Malachim would go down into one of the Avos, and each one that surrounds the Kisei HaKavod would join in and help you on that Shabbos to get whatever you want. Each one was going to do that. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this well. The Satan complained. The Satan said to him, I can't deal with four Avos. I won't be able to survive. Nobody will have any sheikhs to Olam Hazeh. Everything will just come down. It'll be total kedusha. The Satan's out of a job. The Satan says, I need someone else to go instead of David. So they brought in Esav. Esav and David looked alike. They were both born, says Yonas Menuziel, right. Full set of teeth, red hair all over their body. Full beard. And molars, the stuff all the way in the back with those, you know, the teeth that always have to come out. You know what I'm talking about?
The wisdom teeth.
Esav's born with all that. He came out. He walked out like that. David and Malach came out the exact same way. David and Esav are the same. David did well with it. Esav did badly. Let's try to understand what's the pshat behind that type of a thing. Yaakovin was never expected to be a king. Yaakovin was a guy who sits and learns in kol all day long and doesn't do anything else. And he's talking. He doesn't want to do anything else. He just sits and learns and learns and learns and learns and learns. He doesn't want to think about Parnassah. He doesn't want to think about all the other things out there. He just sits and learns and doesn't concentrate on anything else. Nothing else. So you need somebody to take care of him. You need a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. So who's going to be the Zvulun? That's Esav. Esav is the Melech. Esav is supposed to be that king. He's supposed to be out there and pay for Yaakov Avinu. He's supposed to be out there and do everything that Yaakov Avinu wants. Whatever you want, Yaakov, you know, I'll take care of, says Esav. That's what he's supposed to do. His job is to work in Parnassah, to learn on the side, to do a little bit on the side, make safer Tehillim. But can he learn all day long? No! It's usur for David HaMelech to learn all day long. When he can learn, he learns. But he's supposed to read the Sefer Torah all the days of his life. But not every second of the day, because a king is not allowed to. A king has a job. And if a guy knows that he's a zvulun, he has a job to do. His job is not to sit there and say, and battle his job, and say, I'll do that later, I'm going to go learn. That's not his job. That's not what he's supposed to do in this life. That's the difference. Esav was supposed to be the very first Zvulun. Yaakov was supposed to be the very first Yisachar. And that's what the Malachim taught them in the womb. The Malachim taught them in the womb while they were sitting there. You got to do this, and you got to do that. So what's with Esav running around to the Bati Avodah Zarah? What's with everything going on like that? Now, we're going to rock. You got to understand who Esav was. I know everybody thinks of Esav as being this evil guy who's going around, you know, looking like Sylvester Stallone after he took all those drugs, and he's sitting around and he goes and he knocks off a person's head, and then he goes and grabs a beautiful woman, and then he goes and he bows down to a big idol. Can you picture Esav as Rambo with those bullets across his chest, like sitting there with a machine gun, like just to everybody who's in his way, like, get out of here, clown, you know, like can you imagine Esav going out and do that? That's like what you're thinking. And Yaakov is like this meek little guy, this Bal Torah, who's just sitting there and just like, Esav, stop it. Stop it. I don't want you to do that anymore. Esav came out. You know what Esav looked like? He came out of the womb when he had that full beard and the teeth and everything. He came out wearing an Armani suit. He's wearing an Armani suit. He's got a leather briefcase. He's got crocodile skin shoes. He's walking out there. He's like, lead me to the nearest CEO's office. I want to go right now. I want to start my work right now. That's what he did. Esav was a person who knew what his role in life was. He knew he was the Mepharnes, knew he was the David HaMelech, the king of Klal Yisrael. And he sat there and he said, this is what I want to do. And he knew what he was supposed to do. He knew exactly what he had to do. At first, there was no difference between them. First 15 years of their lives, nothing happened. Yaakov sat and learned Torah, and Esav prepared himself for a life of Parnassah. He learned the Torah that he needed to know in order to work in the fields. But he was an Ish Yodeh Tzayid Ish Sadeh. That's not a bad thing. Anybody who goes to business is also an Ish Yodeh Tzayid Ish Sadeh. You're a guy who goes out there and traps animals and does all the things that you need to do in order to make your parnasa. Yaakov was an Ish Tam. They both knew their roles perfectly. When Avraham was around, everything was perfect. But something happened. Vayigdilu on the Arim. They grew up. Says Rashi, it was at the age of 13. But wait, supposedly when Avraham died. Says Chazal, it was really at 15. So how'd they grow at 15? What does a gadol means at 13? Why is it a gadol at 15? Says Rav Moshe Wolfson, this is absolutely beyond the best vort you'll ever hear in your life. Beyond. There's nothing beyond this. You can't get any... Well, there is a Rami Ovid of next week's parasha. But aside from that, there's absolutely nothing you're going to get that's ever close to this type of... Nothing like it. You ready for this? Okay. On the day of Eliyahu's death, right before he got brought up by that chariot of fire into Shemayim, which also, if I would go back in time, I think that'd be number 3 on my list of things to see. Elisha sat there and went up to him and said, I want you to give me 2 times the amount of miracles that you did in this world. That's what Elisha said to him. And Eliyahu said, yes. How does Eliyahu HaNavi have the ability to give him 2 times something greater than he wasn't able to do that? 2 times better than what he was able to do in this lifetime? How can you do that? You don't have that ability. How did Eliyahu HaNavi have that ability? Hear this. On the day of your death, all the days of your life get added up and get put onto that final day. So meaning, on that day of death, it's like you lived your whole life in that day. And you're doubly as strong on that day than you were your whole life. If you're a taller person your whole life, end of your life, you're doubly tahor. If you're a tummy person your whole life, then in the end of your life, you are doubly tummy. That's Shabbi and Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Ben Me'ev Esrim Shana Anochi Ayom. I'm 120 years old today. Not that I turned 120 today. Happy birthday to Moshe. He's saying to you, you know what I am? It's like I lived all 120 years of my life today. I'm 2 times as cutters as I ever was. He was never Zocha to have a Parshas Hazinu any other day of his life. On the last day of his life, not only did he write Parshas Hazinu, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. Try writing 1. 13 Sifrei Torah he wrote on the last day of his life. And it might have been Shabbos. Might have been Shabbos. It's a pella what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do. And the last day of his life, he was doubly as strong. Listen to this. Yaakov and Esav knew that. Yaakov and Esav knew that. Yaakov Avinu, it's funny. Who died on the same day as Avram Avinu?
Nimrod.
That unbelievable? Avram Avinu and Nimrod died on the exact same day. The 2 adversaries. The man of Kedusha, Avram Avinu, and the man of Tumah. Who was around when Avram Avinu was on that level of 2 times his greatest strength? Yeah. Who was around sitting there when Avram Avinu had that strength? Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu sat there when Avram was dying and said to Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu, give me your Kedusha. And Avram Avinu said, not a problem. And gave all his Kedusha over to Yaakov Avinu so that Yaakov Avinu could be 2 times greater than Avram Avinu. He'll be the Sholem among the Avos. Nobody like him. But where was Esav? Esav killed Nimrod. When Nimrod died, who was around? Esav. Esav got double the amount of tumah that Nimrod had. He was doubly tummy. What does that mean he was doubly tummy? How could he be more tummy than Nimrod? You want to hear what's more doubly double the tumah of Nimrod? Nimrod's a rush on the outside. When you're a rush on the outside and a rush on the inside, at least you know who you are. If a guy goes around, and he's a Russia, he's clearly a Russia. You see him, that guy's a Russia. You know to stay away from him. You know he's a bad person. But there's another guy, a faker. And I'm glad that I'm saying that in base. A faker. What does the faker do? On the outside, he looks great. On the outside, he looks like a gadol. On the outside, he looks unbelievable. On the inside, he's the biggest Russia you've ever met before in your life. That's double the tumah of a Russia. Double the tumah. Esav realized how big of a Russia he could be. He might not have seen the dakus within his soul, realizing how much tumah he actually took from Nimrod. But he got it within him. And from then on, he started saying to himself, it's time to be more heter. That day, says Chazal, he was over on Gilei Rais Shvichos Tavim Avodah Zara. What a day! That's a crazy day. Well, where was he going? And he was Kofar Be'ikar and Kofar and Tchias HaMason. That's a lot. That's like a good... At the end of the day, Asaph should sleep straight that night. There's not much else he could have done. And you killed Nimrod. Way to go. That's a crazy day. The pshat is that Asaph was on such a level at that point that all of a sudden he started being Mora Heter to himself. On the outside, he still pictured himself as a tzaddik. On the inside, you know what he did? On the inside, he went around to people and he said, I need my business to work. I'm giving my money to Yitzchak and Yaakov for them to learn Torah. If I want this to work,